I wonder if somebody stopped you in the street this coming week with a clipboard, perhaps, as you're doing your shopping, wherever you go, and asked you what is your greatest need or your greatest wish or desire. I wonder how you would respond. In the reading that we had at the end of Mark chapter 1, there is a man who comes to the Lord Jesus, and he expresses his greatest desire, his greatest wish. We find it in the 40th verse. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to Jesus and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That desire of this man is interesting. You can see, first of all, that he does believe the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to heal him, because he says, "You can, you are able to do it." There seems to be a question mark in the man's mind as to the Lord's willingness, because he says to Jesus, "If you are willing." But then you can also see that it's a prayer, it's a desire that he has. Make me clean. And I thought it would be good for us this morning to think about that prayer, the greatest desire that we can possibly give or pray ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make me clean. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, says that very early on in his ministry year, the Lord Jesus is healing these crowds of people. And a leper comes to him, but Spurgeon says this is not a coincidence, because leprosy is God's appointed picture of sin. And that's how Spurgeon sees this miracle. We believe that it actually happened. It's a historical miracle. So there was a man with leprosy and Jesus healed him. But we can also take it as a spiritual picture, and we can learn from it ourselves. And we have this prayer here, and I would put it to you this morning that this is the greatest prayer that you can ever pray. Lord, make me clean. We live in a sinful world. It's an evil world. It's a dirty world. And yet this man gives this prayer, and he prays that the Lord Jesus would touch him and cleanse him. This is the desire of his heart. We can learn a number of things from this man, from his prayer, and from the way the Lord Jesus Christ meets with him. The Lord Jesus, of course, he's filled with compassion, and he does touch him, stretches out his hand, and immediately we read in verse 42, the leprosy is cleansed. But I want us to think about that prayer this morning that the man makes. Make me clean. Is it a prayer that you offer for yourself? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Or if you've been a Christian for many years, do you go on praying that prayer? Lord, make me clean. There is an old hymn, I think, in our hymn book, which talks about the grace of God. And it speaks along those lines, that it's only God's grace that can cleanse us and can keep us clean. And so even if we've been Christians for many years, we still need to pray the prayer of this man who is the leper. Let me just say three or four things about this miracle of healing that Jesus does on this man with the leprosy. First of all, a clean heart is necessary because God is holy. Cleanliness is necessary because God is holy. Let me just read you a quotation from Martin Luther again, as we think about his conversion with the children just now. But Martin Luther said these words as he was concerned about God and concerned about becoming a Christian. And we find him struggling with all these things. And this is what he says. "Do you not know that God dwells in light inaccessible? We weak and ignorant creatures want to probe and understand the incomprehensible majesty of the unfathomable light of the wonder of God. We approach, we prepare ourselves to approach. What wonder then that his majesty overpowers us and shatters us?" Martin Luther grappling with the being, the person of God, and he speaks about the wonder of God. And we are weak, feeble creatures, he says. But God's majesty overpowers us and shatters us. Isn't that what the scripture says about God, that God is holy? And that's always our starting point, isn't it? It's the emphasis of scripture. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis and you read there Adam and Eve, and they are banned from the Garden of Eden. And remember, as they are drawing near to approach the tree of life, God puts one of his angels there, a cherubim with a flaming sword of fire, turning every way to ban them from the tree of life. A reminder to them in their sinful state of the holiness of God, that they are not allowed to approach God's eternal life anymore. They have to wait God's time. They have to wait for a Savior to come. Or you think of the Psalms. The Psalm asks a question like this. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can I keep myself clean? How can I avoid sin? And then the answer is given, you remember, in that Psalm, by taking heed according to God's word. Or you think of the prophecy of a man like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1. He talks about the days that he was living in. And he says, society is sick from head to toe. That's the description in Isaiah chapter 1. Society is sick. A couple of years ago in the Daily Telegraph, somebody made this comment, very similar to Isaiah chapter 1, about our society. The moral decay of our society is as bad at the top as at the bottom. Something has gone horribly wrong in Britain. If we are ever to confront the problems which have been exposed in the past week, it is essential to bear in mind that they do not only exist in the inner city housing estates. The greed that we witness on our TV screens stretches right into the boardrooms and the cabinet. Britain itself needs a moral reformation. Isn't that true? Isaiah's day, Isaiah chapter 1, but it's true in our own day. Society is sick. There are massive moral problems. You think of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and it speaks about the glories of heaven, the majesty of God, the wonder of glory. And then we are told that nothing that defiles can ever enter in. Nothing that defiles. God is holy. The problem is not just out there in society, is it? The problem is in us. It's in you and in me. Remember that reply that one man made, a Roman Catholic theologian, many years ago. Somebody had put an article in one of the newspapers. What on earth is wrong with the world? And this, I think he was a Catholic theologian, wrote back and said, "Dear so-and-so, the answer to your question is, I am." And then he signed off. God is holy. Here's this man, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "Lord, you can make me clean." Did you notice in the reading in Mark chapter 1, the reference to unclean spirits? And then this man in his leprosy is regarded himself as unclean. The whole of society where the Lord Jesus moves is unclean. But the Lord Jesus is more than a match for it. He's able to conquer it. Even the evil spirits recognize the Lord Jesus and they say, "Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are," they say, "the Holy One of God." And they recognize Christ as the Holy One. You and I, we need clean hearts, don't we? We recognize God is holy. And we need to pray this prayer that this man prayed, "Lord, make me clean." Secondly, a clean heart is crucial because God is our judge. God is our judge. Being as it's Martin Luther week, if we describe it like that this coming week, let me read to you again one of Martin Luther's quotes. Again, he's struggling to come to terms with who God is, but he's frightened of God. And this is what he says. "All men ought to tremble in the presence of God. If you tremble in the presence of an earthly prince, how much more? Who am I that I should lift up my eyes or raise my hands to the divine majesty? The angels surround him. At his nod, the earth trembles. And shall I, a miserable little pygmy, shall I say, 'God, I want this or I want that'? I am dust and ashes, and I am full of sin, and I'm speaking to the living, eternal, and true God. Luther went further than that in his struggle in conviction of sin. He went on to say that he actually not only feared God, but he was so fearful of God that he hated him. God was his judge. And everywhere he looked in the Bible, it was as if the Bible was condemning him. But isn't that what the Bible says? It does say that God is our judge. And one day we have to stand before him. Preachers have to give an account of their sermons. Church officers have to give an account of the way they've led the people. Church members have to give an account of the way we've been as Christians. The Apostle Paul sums it up, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all of us, to receive the things that we've done in the body, whether it is good or bad. God is our judge. And we stand before him. A couple of years ago, I saw a picture of a man, and he had died, but he was a motorbike addict, and he had a beautiful Harley Davidson motorbike. And so when he died, he made a request that he should be buried sitting on his Harley Davidson. This man was from Canada. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a photograph of him that he was actually buried sitting on his Harley Davidson. They put him in a Perspex sort of a plastic case box, and they managed to prop him up on his bike, and there was in the funeral, and they lowered him into the hole. Another man that I read about, was his favorite place was Costa Coffee, and so his coffin was in the shape, you know, of the Costa name. And we see these things happening in the world, don't we? And yet this aspect sometimes very often is forgotten, that God is our judge. We can't take the things we've had in life with us into eternity. God is our judge. We need a clean heart because he is our judge. We stand before him one day. But then thirdly, let me come to this third point. This is the main thing in this miracle. The leper comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that 40th verse, he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. A clean heart is possible because God is love. God is love. You see, this man's statement there is interesting, isn't it? Because he does seem to believe that the Lord Jesus has the power to do it. He's been watching the Lord's miracles. And so he does believe the Lord has the power to do it. But the question for this man is the Lord Jesus Christ willing to touch a leper? That's the point. I know you have the power, Lord, but are you willing to touch a man like me? And so he says, if you are willing, Lord, you can make me clean. This is the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of us have a question mark or a doubt in our minds, well, does the Lord Jesus want somebody like me? Will he meet me? Will he cleanse me from my sins? Lord, if you are willing. Do you wonder sometimes about the Lord's willingness? In verse 41, there's our answer. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretches out his hand and touched the man and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. The Lord Jesus moved with compassion. He's willing because he's moved with compassion. That's the tremendous thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes in life we feel that God doesn't love us because our circumstances are difficult and hard. Dark times come. And then we wonder about the love of God and the compassion of Christ. But this sentence in verse 41 is a wonderful one. It tells us why the Lord Jesus stretches out his hand, because he's moved with compassion to us. It's a tremendous thing about Christ, our Savior. Think of that now for yourself this morning in your situation work situation, family situation, whatever it is. Maybe life at the moment is quite okay, maybe it's not. But it's always good to know that the Lord Jesus doesn't change. Moved with compassion. And so he touches the man who is regarded by society as unclean, the leprous man. It's because of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ that it is possible for us to be saved. A couple of years ago, the BBC, it was the Six Nations rugby tournament was coming around again, so the BBC advertised, they advertised the hymn Carlan Lan. And they invited people, at the beginning of the Six Nations tournament to send in their expression of Carlan Lan. You know, you could sing it yourself, or you could gather with a group and you could send in a video of yourself singing Carlan Lan. The BBC advertised it with this statement. Carlan Lan was originally a hymn written in the 19th century. The sentiment behind Carlan Lan still resonates today, with its emphasis on remaining true to oneself above all. And that's how they advertised the hymn Carlan Lan. They did say it was an old hymn. They got that bit right. But then they said the sentiment behind Carlan Lan is that you remain true to yourself. Whereas in fact, Carlan Lan is not about that at all, is it? It's a hymn about a clean heart. And only with a clean heart can I sing to my Saviour all through the day, day and night. The Lord Jesus here is faced with this man, his request, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. To be clean. How can I be cleansed from my sin? Not by being true to myself. That's what Martin Luther tried to do. Not by doing religious things, but by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, did you see in the news a tragic thing in Malaysia? A 68-year-old man, following his particular religion, human steaming, to cleanse the body and soul from faults and failings and so on. So it was his practice to sit in a giant wok and to cover himself with a lid. And then they set fire to it, and the steam is meant to cleanse your body and soul from all its impurities. Tragically, last week, the 68-year-old man died. As a result, they were unable to revive him. He burnt terrible burns and he died. What a tragedy. Others think that by sitting in the Ganges River that you'll be cleansed. This is all religion, isn't it? It's works. But it's what Martin Luther discovered all those years ago, that it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. This man puts it so well, doesn't he? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretches out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. The willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus willing to be born, to come from heaven and to be born as a man, to be born at Bethlehem. And so we just sang in one of Luther's old hymns, Jesus, bread of life to us. There is the one, born at Bethlehem, put in a manger, and then growing up as a young boy, into adulthood, living a perfect life. The only perfect child that has ever been. No sin in him. Never did anything wrong. Perfect. The Lamb of God. Remember how he sat with the people in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes, and he was 12 years of age, and he answered all their questions, and they were amazed at his learning and his wisdom. And then at the age of 30, he begins his ministry. And if he was willing to be born at Bethlehem and placed in a manger, the Lord Jesus then is baptized. I don't know how many times over the years I've been asked that question. Why was the Lord Jesus baptized if he had no sin? Well, surely it's one of the reasons, the main reason is he is standing, identifying himself with sinful people. He has no sin himself, but he's identifying himself with us. We can see it here in this miracle, in a picture way, if you like, that the Lord Jesus is moved towards this man and stretches out his hand to him and touches him. Isn't the Lord doing that at his baptism? He's standing with sinful people and identifying with them. And then at the age of 33, the Lord Jesus is willing to be crucified. No man takes my life from me, he says, but I lay it down of myself. And he lays down his life on the cross for our sins. He is punished instead of us. My mind goes back sometimes to my school days. And there was an occasion, unfortunately, when I found myself outside the headmaster's office with about 10 or 12 other boys. Still looking back to this day, I still think it was unfair, but I won't go into the details. It was the day of corporal punishment as well, so I had the cane. Teachers, I can still see them sometimes in my nightmares, walking past me in the corridor, and just going, you know, as teachers would do, and tutting. But nobody was willing to take my place. In I had to go to see the headmaster and face the punishment. But here is our Saviour, and he's moved with compassion to us, and he identifies with us. He becomes a man, gets baptized, identifies with sinners, but he goes further than that, and he lays down his life and pays the penalty for our sins. The wrath of God comes upon him on the cross, and Jesus dies in our place. The Gettys put it well, don't they, in that hymn, "In Christ alone my hope is found, the wrath of God was satisfied." I was pleased a few years ago when I heard that they were asked to remove that line because some church in another part of the world wanted to use the hymn, but to drop those words, and they refused. I was glad that they refused. The wrath of God was satisfied when the Lord Jesus died. Such is his compassion for us that he not just touches a leper in this little story here, but he faces God's anger and God's wrath. Jesus dies in my place. Martin Luther discovered that. And when he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to what he says afterwards. Reading that verse in Romans, the justice of God and the righteousness of God. And he says, I came to read these words of Paul in the Epistle to the Romans, the justice of God. Punishing the unjust, I stood before God as a sinner, troubled in conscience. I had no confidence that my merit could assuage him. Night and day I pondered, he said, the connection between the justice of God. And then that statement came, the just shall live by faith. Then I grasped that the justice of God is that righteousness through which grace and sheer mercy God justifies us through faith. I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. This passage became to me a gate to heaven. If you have a true faith that Christ is your Savior, then you have a gracious God, and faith leads you in. I felt as if I was led into paradise, Luther says. Has that happened to you? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by religious works or efforts, but you've believed on the Lord Jesus, and you've gone through into paradise, and now you know God as your Father and the Lord Jesus as a gracious Savior. The Lord Jesus, moved with compassion, said to this man, I will be clean. And the leprosy immediately left him, and he was cleansed. A clean heart. Do you have a clean heart today? Are you able to approach God as your Father and the Lord Jesus as your Savior? The Spirit of God is your Comforter, and you are right with God, you are reconciled. What a great privilege that is. It's the greatest privilege of all. Finally, one other lesson we learned. We need a clean heart because God is holy. God is our judge. God is love, and Christ is full of compassion to save us. Finally, there is a lesson here for us, isn't there? As the Lord Jesus warns this man in verse 43 and tells him, "Say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But the man went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but he was outside in deserted places. It's a strange little bit of information at the end of this miracle, isn't there? The Lord Jesus tells this man not to say anything to anybody. But the man goes blurting it out and telling everybody. He's so excited that he's been cured and healed. But the result is that the Lord Jesus is unable to go out into public places. There's a lesson there, isn't there, for us? A clean heart is responsible because God is clear as to our duties. We are to obey Christ's commands. We are to make sure that in our witness we don't hinder the Lord's work. Could we take that simple command from the words of the Lord Jesus here? That we are not to hinder his work. This man was so excited that he'd been cured of his leprosy that he just goes telling everybody. And so crowds of other people want to come to Christ to be cured of their leprosy. But of course that wasn't the mission. The main mission of the Lord Jesus was to go to the cross. But now so many people want to be cured with miracles that the Lord Jesus is unable to go into public places. His main focus, of course, was preaching and the cross. And in that sense, the man who was cured, he hindered the Lord Jesus at that point. We are not to hinder the Lord in his work. We are to make sure that we live our lives as believers, so that the Lord Jesus Christ is praised. Even when we give our testimony, giving our testimony is not an easy thing, is it? Because we can draw attention to ourselves. But to do it in such a way that the Lord Jesus Christ is praised. To live our lives for him, for his glory. I heard a story a few months back about a man who he wanted to take up fishing. So he got a fishing rod, he got all the equipment. And then the day came, he went out to fish and sat by a river somewhere. And there was a young boy just up from him, and he was fishing as well, catching quite a few fish. But this man, with all his new rod and equipment, wasn't catching anything. And so eventually he went up to the boy and said, "Can I sit here? Can we swap?" So they did. And still, the man with all the equipment wasn't catching anything. The boy swapped places, and he was catching the fish down the other end. So the man eventually asked the young boy, what am I doing wrong?" he said. And the young boy said, you're too big. The fish can see you," he said. He was there with all his equipment. And the boy said to him, "Stay out of sight." Isn't that the lesson in the Christian life? Stay out of sight. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Go and quietly obey the laws. That's what Jesus says to this man who's been healed. Live your life for the glory of God. It's about him, that he might have all the praise and all the glory. Friends, this morning, here's the prayer for you. During the week, as we live in this sinful, unclean, dirty, ungodly world, with all the things that are thrust upon us during the week, Lord Jesus Christ, you can make me clean. Lord Jesus, you can keep me clean. Lord Jesus, you can see to it that one day I arrive safe in glory, washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you've never prayed that prayer before, if you're maybe like Martin Luther, struggling with all these things, pray this morning, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to wash you from your sin. Understand and be assured that the Lord Jesus is willing, because he's full of compassion, he's full of love and mercy. Christians for many years go on praying that prayer, wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.